KWOS, open air for the rest of the hour. SSM, St. Mary's Hospital psychologist, Dr. Laurel Kramer, back with us to talk to us about anxiety attacks, panic attacks. Doctor, welcome back.
Well, thank you, and good morning on this wonderfully cool fall morning.
That's right. Do you have any hurricane flashbacks looking at the pictures? Boy, that was pretty spectacular yesterday.
That was very spectacular, and that was a very serious hurricane that escalated pretty quickly. It's going to take a long time to clean up there, but they're in our prayers and thoughts. And
yeah, we were trying to contact our friend, former Jefferson City Convention Visitors Bureau Director Steve Picker down there, and called his number, and it just rang and rang and rang. So we hope Steve and his whole crowd are A-okay down there on the panhandle.
Yes, let's hope so. I have a picture of Sarah and myself and my husband on the beach a few years ago at St. George Island, which I know we saw pictures of last night. It was under at least 5 feet of water. So,
if that doesn't give you anxiety disorders, doctor, I don't know what would, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Talk to us about that. You know, people hear the phrase panic attacks and they hear about anxiety attacks. Talk to us about anxiety disorder, then we can get into the meat of the difference.
Okay. So the reason I chose this topic today is because I've been seeing a lot of young adults in their college age and just getting out in their early 20s into the working world. And they talk about an underlying anxiety and then that spikes into panic attacks most of the time. So I'm aware that our young people, and I know older adults like you and I, John, and you, also suffer from anxiety and panic attacks at times of our lives. So this is really for all ages and for parents to listen for their teens and even younger children, because younger children, even in elementary school, are suffering from anxiety, whether they don't want to go to school and that kind of separation anxiety, or just general anxiety worries. It's something that we all need to be aware of these days. So 1 in 3 people suffer from anxiety. 1 in 3 teens suffer from anxiety, enough that it's classified as a disorder. So general anxiety is different than panic attacks. General anxiety is the anticipation fear, the fear because you're anticipating a possible future event that is traumatic or negative, rather than a real fear of a real event like the hurricane. So with general anxiety, it's about worries, it's about muscle tension, it's about never feeling you're able to react. It makes you... you can't concentrate well on your work or life. And it's more worry about everyday events that are obvious or not obvious to us, but just your general background noise of anxiety. And it impacts our sleep and most things we do. Panic attacks are much more intense than general anxiety. They come on suddenly. And there are very specific physical sensations and often not related to a specific threat that happened. I've been in this business over 31 years. People that I see who come in with panic attacks come in and say, I was driving across the bridge, or I was driving up to Columbia on the road. There was nothing going on, and I had this panic attack. I don't know what triggered it. So part of the treatment is helping them figure out, when did they start? Because often there's a triggering event in the past that's not related to going across the bridge, to walking under ladders, you know, whatever that is. So with panic attacks, most people are familiar with the rapid heart rate, the sweaty palms, the nausea, the terrifying fear of impending doom or I'm going to die. Usually they last about 5 to 30 minutes. Some go on much longer because once you've had a panic attack, the fear of having another one, because it's so physically awful, occurs. So that can extend that. But some other symptoms that many people with panic attacks don't talk about because they don't want people to think they're crazier is a derealization and depersonalization. What those two things are about everything around you seems unfamiliar to you. You may feel like you're lost, or like, how did I get here? Not realizing that you walked in, you know, this is a familiar setting, but everything looks unfamiliar, which of course then feeds your fear and gets your heart going even more and your adrenaline response even higher. Depersonalization can also be part of a panic attack experience, and it feels like you're out of your body, like you don't have control over your body. Or sometimes people say, you know, I felt like I could watch myself from afar. And that scares them because it's not a normal response. But these two responses, in addition to the physical things, are very common. Once you have a panic attack, you're exhausted. I mean, people just want to lay down and go to sleep, and it's like an adrenaline rush.
I remember, not to jump in.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Once upon a time, back in my very younger years, for, I don't know, a couple years or so, I had some panic attacks, and I remember, I think I was running on a regular basis at that time, and I had to flee whenever I had a panic attack. Wherever I was going to walk at a high speed or run till I was exhausted after.
And many people who run or exercise use that kind of physical release to get rid of the adrenaline from their muscles. And then they are exhausted. And then they sleep, but it's also not restful sleep because you're still feeling that anxiety. Most times, general anxiety and panic attacks do go together. There's a component of an anxiety disorder or of a depression disorder, which is classified under general mood disorders together because it's similar in the brain chemistry. And panic attacks can be a part of that and often are a part of that.
Dr. Laurel Kramer in with us, SSM St. Mary's Hospital psychologist, as we talk about anxiety issues versus panic attacks this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about how they're treated and things you can do to maybe avoid them if you are prone to those. And when we come back with Dr. Laurel Kramer on KWS Open Air. KWS Open Air brought to you by Arts Pest Control. You stay, they go. 556-6397. Dr. Laurel Kramer, psychologist, SSM, St. Mary's Hospital, in with us as we talk about anxiety disorders, panic attacks, and all, as I related. In my young days, for a while, I had some panic attacks and made some lifestyle changes and got better and all. But we were just talking to you off air. A lot of times, I think I remember at the time going to my PCP, my primary care physician at the time, and his recommendation was, "Oh, you got panic attacks here. Let me write you a Valium prescription or Xanax prescription." That's pretty common for a long time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very common because Xanax that. Kind of medication actually works very quickly and people calm down very quickly. So if you went to your medical doctor and saw him, and it still happens today, I think the thinking is if we can break that cycle of having panic attacks, then perhaps you'll feel better. Sorry, my phone is going off. I apologize.
You have so many calls and questions coming.
Really, Xanax is a very addictive drug, and what you're doing is you're putting a Band-Aid on the problem rather than actually getting to the meat of it, so to speak. So people self-medicate also. They drink alcohol. Oftentimes, substance use is linked to self-medication for a mood disorder, often anxiety. And then, you know, you have the alcoholism that goes with that. Smoking pot is also another way that our culture, whether it's legal or not, thinks that pot calms you down. For many people, it does. But then you have the group of people that it makes more anxious and actually can cause panic attacks because of how it interacts with your own brain chemistry.
And as strong as it is currently.
And as strong as it is. But, you know, years ago when it wasn't that strong, it also, for a certain group of people, your brain metabolizes it differently than others, and it can increase your anxiety and panic attacks.
Well, people medicate in this modern era, unfortunately, with opioids, with anxiety issues too, don't they?
Yes, yes, they do, because it knocks you out and then you don't experience it. But that is not the best way, obviously, because all you're doing then is you're putting a substance like a blanket over the problem. And while it helps in the short term, it doesn't help in the long term and can actually make the problem worse. So I have sent a picture to Dick, who will put it online, about anxiety levels, so with symptoms associated with it. And it's similar to the pain scale, those faces that we see when we go into the doctor's mm-hmm. office, from smiling to yelling from pain. This is a similar anxiety level, with anxiety level 0 up to anxiety level 9 with symptoms associated. So here's how to use this. If, for example, you look at this scale and you say, you know what, I'm at an anxiety level 6 most of the time. I feel like this anxiety is too much to handle. I'm worried about losing my job, failing the big test, or even anxiety level 5, where I'm imagining things bad happening, like getting into a car accident, losing my house to foreclosure, or even smaller things. What if I get sick? But it's there all the time, or kind of as a background, and you're losing sleep to those kinds of worries. Go see a therapist. Go see a mental health professional, because there are techniques, behavioral techniques, thinking techniques without medication that can help. And especially if you're having panic attacks, if it's going into full-blown panic attacks, even once a week panic attacks or once a month a panic attack can be really startling and upsetting to you as the person who's experienced them. Go see a mental health professional, because that person can really help you figure out when this started and possibly identify those triggers and then help you overcome what that block is that's happening in your brain. Now, for teenagers and young adults, it's important to recognize that teenagers suffer from anxiety frequently. Some of it is due to social media all the time. And that they, because they're on social media, they think they should be connected socially, and there's a lot of social support. But it's also isolating, so they feel more alone. And they don't want to tell people, I'm feeling really bad about myself or bad about my life, because on social media, everybody's happy. So it's important to know that teens suffer from this. And this week, I heard about a Broadway play that's been out for the last year. And it's called Dear Evan Hansen. And it's about a teenage boy who suffers from anxiety, and other characters in the play that also suffer from anxiety and depression as teenagers, and how he went through life like that, and how his story about that. And it has been such a hit. It's only been on Broadway for 1 year, and it has been such a hit nationally and internationally that the writer of the play has written it into a novel that is designed for teenagers and parents to read, to get an idea of what's going on, and that, one, the teens read it and their responses are, oh, I'm not alone with this, which helps decrease their anxiety. Mm-hmm. But it also gives helpful tips about what to do to manage that, or how to talk about it. So it really creates a place to talk with your parent about it, or somebody else. The other thing that can really be helpful, and this is easy, there's been new research that has come out that hugging others and hugging animals, a living thing,
like Sarah the Wonder Dog, like who's Sarah with us this morning, dog,
yes, can actually decrease your anxiety levels. And I know over the years I've seen this kind of research before, but this is now out in the main news stream about hugging. It's important for each person to get about 10 hugs a day, or 10 physical touches from other human beings, to help them feel emotionally connected and safe socially. You know, it just helps build
Well, you got to watch that in the modern workplace. If you're out fishing for 10 hugs in the workplace,
all right. Well, it doesn't have to be hugging in the workplace. It can be a touch on the arm. It can be hugging your spouse.
Shoulder chuck like the coach, right?
Shoulder chuck. But those kinds of touches can really be helpful. I'm not advocating touching your coworkers, okay? But I am saying be mindful of hugging the people that you are closer to. And your pets. animals can be very helpful with that kind of living touch, so to speak.
Works both ways with them, too. It's good for their mental health.
It does work both ways. The last thing that you can do if you are feeling anxious a lot of the time is start. There's many phone apps that are helpful at helping you calm down. I know the Apple phone has that 30-second breathe reminder every so often if it senses that you're, you know, feeling anxious. That can be really helpful because it is slowing your breathing. It's giving that break in your brain and your physical symptom to slow down. But you can also do like a 3-minute breathing exercise, which is you can do this at your desk. You can do this when you're waiting in line somewhere. You can do this at home if the kids are driving you crazy or you're feeling anxious about TV or whatever. So you might just close your eyes and bring yourself to visualize your favorite place and think about that. And what's my experience right now? Well, my heart's racing or I'm anxious. Okay, you just sort of help it ramp down by breathing, by refocusing, by also telling yourself nothing bad is happening right now. I'm worried about something that could happen, the possible something that could happen, that most likely 99% of the time isn't going to occur. So I want to refocus my thought on the 1% that my life's going to be okay 99% of the time. I'm okay. And then gather that kind of sense of calmness and then open your eyes. And it takes about 2 to 3 minutes.
Cheap fix, doctor.
It is a cheap fix. But then definitely if you suffer from it, I mean, some people do benefit from medications, not Xanax, just Xanax. But, you know, really looking at that and then talking about the issues can be helpful.
Dr. Laurel Kramer, SSM, St. Mary's Hospital psychologist with us this morning on KWS Open Air. Some good tips. Thank you, doctor.
Thank you. You have a good week.
Thank you, Sarah the Wonder Dog, as well.